may notice I'm a little congested this morning. I have an allergy to dust and dust mites and all the after company cleaning my wife did. I got a little bit of a dust problem, and I'm not running any fever. I'm not contagious. It's just a dust thing. Okay, so I may have to preach with a cough drop in my mouth. And I may have to take a swig of water from time to time, but we'll make it through by God's grace this morning. We'll just go ahead and begin with a cough drop. How about that? All right. No doubt there's going to be a lot of preaching at the beginning of this year on having a 2020 vision for 2020. I know it's real catchy. I know some preachers who are preaching on particular passages that happen to be the 20th verse of the 20th chapter. I'm sure to be proved to be interesting perspective for some, but that's not how the Lord led me today. Amen. My text is not the 20th verse of a 20th chapter, and if you were hoping for something like that, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I do want you to turn to two passages of Scripture with me, Hebrews chapter number 12 and Philippians chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 12 and Philippians chapter number 3. We're going to take a look at Hebrews first. Hebrews chapter number 12. And I want us to read the first three verses here. Understand that this was written, the chapter 12 comes right after the Hall of Faith chapter. The testimony of the many brave men and women of God who through faith did some mighty things. Chapter 11 calls attention to those things, calls attention to their faith. And that's why you have the word wherefore there in verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who's the cloud of witnesses? Well, it's those folks in chapter number 11. Those folks who are witness to what a life lived by faith will do for you. And he says, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now let's pause here. We've got a race that is set before us. You don't run my race, and I don't run your race. We run the race that the Lord has given each of us, and we are to run it with patience. We're to run it. It means we stay steady in the race. Amen. We don't quit. Verse number 2 is my text this morning. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, the words looking unto there in verse number 2, when it says looking unto Jesus, looking unto means to consider attentively. It means to focus on, and that's so I want to talk about focusing on Jesus in 2020. I don't know what your focus is on for the new year. I know people have all kinds of things they come up with, things they want to be in 2020, and they'll be focused on certain things like that. But I trust that as believers, that we will resolve to have our focus upon Christ and Christ alone. If our focus is upon Him, then we can't go wrong. I mean, there's a lot of different things that come out of our focus on Him, and we'll talk about some of those things. But the picture here is that of a runner in a race with a finish line that's set before him. And you can see the finish line all off in the distance. And by the way, there's going to be a finish line. Amen. We don't know when our time on this earth is going to be ended, but we do know that there is a finish line. And as the race begins, the runner has both his sight and his mind set on the goal. We say that, he is focused on the goal. You've probably seen it. I love watching the Olympics. Watching them run the different types of races that they run. And I love to see the focus that they have on that goal and with that focus not being broke. And that's what we need in our lives. We say that the runner is focused on the goal, and the Apostle Paul was clearly focused on his life on the goal of Christ. Look at Philippians in chapter number 3, a very familiar passage of Scripture there. Philippians 3 and verse number 7, in the previous verses to verse number 7, he talks about some things that he could have had confidence in. He's a, you know, he said, there's folks that have confidence in the flesh. In fact, well, let's pick up in verse number 4, Philippians 3, verse number 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more. He's saying, it's not good for us to focus on the flesh, but, if we're comparing flesh with flesh, he said, let me tell you my background. And he talked about here the things that he could have focused on, but he didn't. Verse 5, he circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. So he got beyond those things in his fleshly walk and had his focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And I'm always amazed. I'm going to pause right there. We're going to read some more here in just a moment. But I'm always amazed when they give the background of the runners regarding the Olympics. Or whatever. If you're watching any kind of race, a lot of times they'll talk about the background of the runner. And talk about what they had to go through just to train to be able to do what they do and to get their focus where it was at on the goal. And we see that the Apostle Paul, he said, I count all things but loss. And that's really the way a runner does. If a runner's running a race, he really doesn't have a life outside of training for the race. You know, a lot of these Olympians, they will train 4 years. Their life is all wrapped up in training for the particular event that they're going to enter. And they spend enormous amounts of time and energy, and I mean, their diet, everything about them is circled around that race. And Paul wanted to say here, if I count those things as concerning my personal flesh, I count those things but lost for Christ. Christ is my goal. And look at verse number 8 again. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, to do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. There, what he's talking about there being, he wants to apprehend that for which he's been apprehended of Christ. He wanted to do God's will. The reason that God saved him and called him into ministry, he wanted to fulfill that Christ had for his life. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We see the goal there. We see he's focused on that. He presses toward that mark. And he says there that, he said, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. In other words, we all ought to be focused on the goal of Christ. He ought to be our focus. And the Apostle Paul was clearly focused on in his life on the goal of Christ. He was a man so focused on the goal of Christ that at the end of his life he could say in 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let me ask a question for all of us to contemplate on personally as we begin this new year. Who or what are you focused on in your life right now? What are you focused on? It's important to us as believers to make sure that we're focused on the right things. We need to have our focus where God would have us to have our focus. Unfortunately for many believers, the focus is often on a number of different things that this world is focused on, rather than on the goal of Christ. And you'll notice there in your announcements today, I've given you a couple of different handouts, and one of those handouts I used for a New Year message there on Wednesday. Then the other I used in Sunday school this morning, and the purpose of both of these is to help us get focused on the right things for the New Year. And I trust that you'll hang on to those. And in fact, I encourage the ones and things we ought to be in this coming year. Keep that in your Bible, where you do your devotions, where you read your Bible. Go over those things from time to time and see how you're doing. The purpose of these are to help us get focused on the right things for the new year. And again, where is your focus? What are you focused on? Are you focused on the right things? Maybe at one time in your life you were focused on the Lord, focused on pleasing Him, but is your focus still in that direction, or has something caused you to lose that focus? Usually we lose our focus when we become distracted by something else. When a baseball player, I like to watch baseball, when a baseball player loses his focus, he can't hit the ball. And you see some of the greatest hitters when they've lost their focus. They can't seem to focus on what the pitch is coming, and they lose that ability. They can't hit the ball. It may be somebody who is good at in the field, and they lose their focus and can't catch the ball. When a runner loses his focus, he cannot successfully run his race. And listen, when we as Christians lose our focus on Christ, we cannot successfully run the race that is set before us, according to Hebrews 1 there that talks about that we do have a race. So when we lose our focus on Christ, we cannot successfully live a victorious Christian life. So, at the beginning of the new year here, how can we keep from losing our focus? That's what I want to look at today. First of all, we need to be aware of what causes us to lose our focus and be on guard for those things. Amen? Be aware. What causes you to lose your focus as a believer? And if you know those things are there, you need to be on guard for them. Well, you know, we can lose our focus when we get our eyes off of Jesus and onto adverse circumstances in our life. Adverse circumstances. I use for an example here the Apostle Peter. Peter was one of the ones that was there in Matthew 14. Jesus come walking on the water. The disciples are in the boat, and Peter talks to the Lord and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw the wind boisterous, got his eyes off of Jesus and got his eyes on the circumstances. When that happened, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Now, we know that if we get our eyes in the wrong place, get it on the adverse circumstances that come our way, we're not going to be an effective believer. Paul had a lot of adverse circumstances in his life. In fact, I'm amazed when we take a look at what the Scriptures reveal that Paul went through. There's a lot of things that are written here in the Scriptures. As you go through his missionary journeys there in the book of Acts, as you read the writings of his epistles, especially the epistle to the Corinthians and 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, talks about the labors that he was in, the stripes that he received, the prisons that he was frequented, and he talked about how five times, I want you to think about this, five times he received 39 stripes. 40 stripes save one, that's 39. Amen. He said that five times. One time would be enough for most of us to just quit. He says, thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. You talk about somebody who went through some difficult circumstances. If Paul had been focused on his circumstances, he surely would have quit. But he didn't. He was focused. He counted everything but dung that he might win Christ. His focus was on the goal of Christ. Listen, we need to understand that adversity is a part of this life in this sin-cursed world. Job said as much in Job 14 and verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And you know, in spite of that knowledge, even Job was tempted to lose his focus on the Lord. That's what Satan was hoping for when Satan was allowed to touch his family, take his kids out and have his wife turn on him. And you know, all of his kids were killed. And you take a look at the difficulties that he faced in his life physically, with boils in his flesh. It would be enough to make most in our day forget about the Lord. He was tempted in that way, wasn't he? Our adversary, I want you to understand, our adversary, the devil, often uses the adverse circumstances of this life to get our eyes off the Lord. It just does. And that's why Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, the Lord can take adverse circumstances that come our way, and he can turn them into something that is useful in our life, in our walk. They can mold us and make us into the image of Christ. But see, Satan wants to take those same circumstances and wants you to get an attitude toward the Lord, wants you to quit on the Lord, and wants you to walk away from that you know is right. So be strong in the Lord. Don't fall for the lies of the devil. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You got to be aware. The devil's going to use his wiles on you in this coming year. And if you're aware of that, when it comes your way, you're going to keep your focus on Christ. Look to Him. Ephesians 6:13 says, wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So we can lose our focus when we get our eyes off of Jesus and onto adverse circumstances. But listen, second of all, we can lose our focus when we get our eyes off of Jesus and onto so-called favorable circumstances. Okay? It's not always adversity that causes us to lose our focus. Sometimes it's things that are favorable. In Luke chapter 12, our Lord told a parable of a rich fool. And in that parable, we know that the Lord was, he shared there in... let me turn there real quick. Don't have it marked in my scripture. And obviously it must have fell out. Luke chapter number 12, excuse me. Luke chapter number 12. And let's take a look at verse 16 through 21 here. Luke chapter number 12. We see Luke chapter number 12 in verse number 16. And understand when the Lord told this, he was telling it on the tail end of what he says in verse 15. Let's pick up at verse 15, Luke 12:15. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. See where the focus is on? It's on the things. It's on the things that those things can bring in one's life. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So, you know, the positive circumstances, favorable circumstances, I mean, can be something that can get our eyes off the Lord. We need to be aware of open doors. You know, not every open door is of the Lord. Not every open door is of the Lord. Also, not every favorable circumstance is good for our lives. I know we like it when good times are happening, aren't we? You know, it's better, we feel better about it when we have plenty and we don't have lack, right? When we're all that way, that's just part of our flesh. But listen, Satan can use both adverse circumstances and favorable circumstances to get our focus off the Lord in our lives. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Paul is telling Timothy here to remind folks that had some means to not get their focus on those things. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, he's warning him here of what Jesus warned of in the parable of the sower, and that is beware of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. There in 1 Timothy 6, look at verse number 6. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Would God that we get that in our mind. Godliness with contentment. Be content with such things you have. Amen. Look at verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, in other words, that's where their focus is at. Their focus is on getting rich. He said they fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. In other words, don't have you focused in that area. Don't love money. It's not money that is the root of all evil. It's the love of it. And he said that thou, man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Those are the riches that we should seek for in our lives. So when we need to beware of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Another thing, we can lose our focus when we get our eyes off of Jesus and onto ourselves. There in Matthew 26, of course, we focus on Peter in Matthew 26 as he is saying, oh, Lord, I'd never deny you. I'll go the extra mile for you. I mean, when we read verses 31 through 35, it's not just Peter that is doing this, but there's also the other disciples. And the Lord said to them in Matthew 26 and verse 31, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of these, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said, verily I say unto thee that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Notice, likewise also said all disciples. I know we like to pick on Peter, but all the disciples kind of had the same thing. Lord, we'll never deny you. We'll never forsake you. Yet, we find in verse number 56, it says that all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. It wasn't just Peter that forsook him and fled. All of them forsook him and fled. And Paul, though, kept his focus on the Lord in spite of self. And we read that in verses 4 through 7. So let me ask you this morning, have you lost your focus on Jesus because you're focused on yourself and what you think that you can accomplish, what you can do in this coming year? Look at what the Lord would have you to do. We can lose our focus when we get our eyes off of Jesus and onto our past. You know, unfortunately, failure is a part of our walk sometimes. I don't know of anybody who walks in this life and doesn't stumble a little bit at some time. But, you know, righteous man, he can fall 7 times, but he's going to get back up. Scripture says that. But we find Peter, you know, we know that Peter denied the Lord 3 times. And next time we see in John chapter 21, after the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, he's out fishing again. And the Lord wanted to get his focus back in the right place. And in John 21, it's recorded that the Lord inquired about his love, whether he loved him. And 3 times, just like the 3 denials that Peter gave, the Lord required 3 affirmations from Peter that he loved him. He asked him 3 times. And he was getting back into where he needed to be at. Because, you know, Peter, I'm sure, was like us. A lot of times we get focused on our past and our failures, and we think, hey, well, God's through with me and can't use me anymore. And that's not true. You know? Something caused you to stumble and fall, but that doesn't mean that you're totally out of the game. Satan wants us to think that because we messed up so bad in the past, we can't be used of God. But Paul kept his focus in spite of his past. Now, can you imagine if Paul had focused on what he was before the Lord saved him? There's a lot of Christians that are that way. They look at their lives and they say, "Well, you know, you don't know where I came from. You know, the Lord saved me, but you don't know where I came from." Well, I don't think you're any worse than the Apostle Paul. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and we see that Paul describes this that was his past here in verse number 12 through verse number 16. 1 Timothy 1, verse number 12. And we see here, Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And the Lord counted him faithful. You know, I'm sure that Paul would look at his life and say, you know, I'm not always faithful, but Lord counted me as faithful. Verse 13, he says, "Who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, and I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." He's saying, you know, he still viewed himself as being the chiefest of sinners at this point. Verse 16, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." He didn't have the focus upon how he had failed God in the past. He had to focus upon what God wanted to use him for in his service. Another thing is we can lose our focus when we get our eyes off of Jesus and on to other people. Paul could have focused on those that quit. We know Demas was a quitter. And, Paul relied on the Lord primarily, but he needed the help of others as he was doing the ministry. And he mentions there in 2 Timothy 4:10 how that Demas had forsaken him, having loved this present world. He also mentions in 2 Timothy 4, in verse number 14, that about an evil worker, Alexander the coppersmith, that did him evil. And, a lot of times when people that we labor with turn against us, it causes us to lose our focus. And I wonder, have you lost your focus because of others? It might be a preacher of some sort, or a deacon, or a Sunday school teacher, or whoever. It might have been somebody you looked up to, someone you respected, spiritually falls. If you view that and it causes you to fall, you had your focus in the wrong place. Keep your focus on Christ. So we need to be aware of what causes us to lose our focus and be on guard for those things. Secondly, and this is only a 2-point sermon, amen. I know we had many sub-points under that first one. But here, we need to stay focused on Jesus in all things. Stay focused, number one, on His person. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He is God. Amen. When you see Jesus for who He is, it can really help us. And we need to stay focused on His person. And we need to stay focused on His position. Listen, He is the sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are the called according to His purpose. My wife and I, that is our joint life verse from the time we've been married. We took that verse on. And the Lord has brought us through many different things. We've been in the ministry for a long period of time together. And if we got our focus on the people, we'd be out right now. We got our focus on the bad times, the bad things that have happened to us, we'd be out of the ministry right now. But we kept our focus on the Lord, realizing that all of those things, God was using those things and working those things, even though sometimes we could not see until we got to the other side and looked back. And we say, that's what the Lord was doing. And there's some things that you may not understand until you get home to be with Him. We're not always going to see, but we need to trust Him. Trust that the Lord is working all things together for your good. So we stay focused on His person, His position. We need to stay focused on His power. Our Lord Jesus Christ is omnipotent God. I love some of my favorite verses are found in Romans chapter number 8. In fact, I'm going to have you turn there. I wasn't going to have you turn there, but look at Romans chapter number 8. Every time I read this passage of Scripture, it just causes my heart to overabound with joy at what the Lord does for us. Romans 8 and verse number 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, this could be a year of tribulation for you. Or distress. No doubt there are going to be some things that are going to cause some distress in your life this year. Or persecution. Or famine. Or nakedness. Or peril. Or sword. None of those things are things that we would desire to go through, are they? But can any of those things separate us from the love of Christ? Not one iota. In fact, he says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know why that's true? Because our Lord is all-powerful. He can get us beyond whatever comes our way. Amen. He is the Lord God omnipotent. And we need to stay focused on His provision. Sometimes we wonder, you know, how are we going to make it? You ever had some of those times? How am I going to get through this? Maybe financially. But we need to stay focused on His provision. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about this in the Sermon on the Mount. That's recorded in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 25. When He says there, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Why consider ye, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today he is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? He says, for all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. See, God knows what our needs are. Verse 33 is key. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Be focused on the Lord. He said, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Stay focused on the provision of God. Amen. Where's your focus in your life this morning? Is it on your circumstances, whether they are either adverse or favorable? Is it on yourself? Is it on your failure, the failures of your past? Maybe this past year you failed the Lord in some way. Confess it. Forsake it. Move beyond it. Allow the Lord to use you once again. Maybe your focus has been on other people. Somebody disappointed you. Somebody failed you. Somebody you looked up to. Listen, it's time to get refocused on Jesus. Maybe your focus is wrong because you're spiritually blind. You know, hard to focus if you're blind. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4 says, But if our gospel be hid, see them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, allow the Lord to touch your eyes. Allow the Lord to touch your spiritual eyes and open them. If you're blind today, come to the Lord Jesus. God loves you. Jesus died for you. And He wants you to start with the new year with a new birth. If you don't have the new birth, come today. Trust in Him. If you are born again, get your focus on Christ if it's not there. And keep your focus on Him until He comes again. Let's pray. Father,